From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Audie Cornish.
And I'm Melissa Block. Harry Candale remembers exactly where he was when he first heard Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. He was 20-something at the time, in the 1970s, driving up the California coast. He'd borrowed a friend's car and popped in a cassette he found. What he heard both shocked him and transported him.
I think it was the third movement, the slow movement, the adagio of the Ninth Symphony that really appealed to me. And as the 20s was a bad decade for me. So I was probably in some kind of angst-ridden melancholy at the time. So it appealed to me very deeply, and it touched me in a way that no other music had, just that third movement.
Now, Cary Candale has turned his obsession with Beethoven's Ninth into a documentary film titled Following the Ninth, in the footsteps of Beethoven's final symphony. He follows the Ninth around the world, to Chile and China, where it became an empowering anthem of solidarity. And he goes to Japan, where performances of Daiku, the Great Nine, are a cherished annual tradition.
The Japanese identified with Beethoven for one thing, you know, the quintessential romantic figure of Beethoven as this man who's tortured and struggles and overcomes and finally reaches this pinnacle of artistic creation with the Ninth Symphony, his final symphony, 3 years before he dies. So that appealed to the Japanese, but then it became this yearly event where sometimes 5,000 people, sometimes 10,000 people who have practiced singing in German for 6 months stand together in December and sing the Ode to Joy.
It's an amazing thing to see. We see one of these gigantic performances, 5,000 singers in what looks like a stadium or arena gathered around the orchestra singing the final movement of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. And you talk to one of those singers, Iwanaga Yuji, and he describes the actual physical effect that having this group experience brings. Let's take a listen.
You need to sing Daiku in order to understand how the singers feel after the concert. I don't know. Even after we finish, we still have Daiku song in our body, in our mind, in our soul.
And someone describes it to you as sort of a way to sort of bring good things into the new year. It's a healing kind of thing.
Yes, it's true. Some people carry notes to themselves when they step onto the platform to sing, sort of dedications to what they want to achieve, what they value, what they want to accomplish in the next 12 months.
Cary, your movie also goes to Chile, where the same piece of music, the Ode to Joy from Beethoven's Ninth, was used in a very different way during the protests in the 1970s against the Chilean military dictatorship. And we actually hear crowds of women protesters singing the Ode to Joy, the Himno a la Alegría.
That was the most touching story for me in the films, that these women who, at the risk of their lives, essentially came out to places where they knew people were being tortured. And of all the songs that they would choose, the Ninth Symphony was the song that they ended up singing in front of these torture prisons to men inside. And I was so lucky to have found both women who had sung the song, but also a man who was inside who heard it. And it was such a moving thing for me, because if you can imagine having been tortured and sitting in a prison, and over the wall you hear people out there singing on your behalf, waiting for you to be released if you are, being ready to welcome you back into the world, back into their open arms, and back into a musical community.
And there's remarkable tape from a man who was a political prisoner. He was tortured under Pinochet. This is Renato Alvarado, who describes being in detention, having been tortured, and hearing this music sung by the women outside.
One day I heard the music. It was us having the colorful butterfly in our heart. It was fantastic. It was hope.
That's such an image of this music being a colorful butterfly able to get in behind those walls.
Yes, he's such an interesting man. He knew about the symphony and about how it was translated in the version that was sung in Chile, because it came out of the church. Then it was translated into more political movements. So he knew that song very well, and he knew that it connected to people that he would be welcomed by when he was released, if he was released.
So that former prisoner talking about hearing this song and hearing hope, that same idea comes through in a conversation that you have in your movie with a former student leader from the Tiananmen Uprising in China back in 1989. This is Fang Zhongde. And he tells you this amazing story about rigging makeshift loudspeaker system, a broadcast system around Tiananmen Square, and playing Beethoven's Ninth to drown out the government messages that were being broadcast at the same time. He calls it this battle of voices.
And that was why we used Beethoven's Ninth. It gave us a sense of solidarity. All people become brothers and a new, better future. It transformed us over one night.
Was this piece of music a really deliberate choice on his part? I mean, was he sending a specific message?
Well, of course, the key line in the Ninth Symphony choral part is Alle Menschen werden Brüder, all men will become brothers, or translated into contemporary language, all people will be connected. It resonated on that square with all those people who came there not expecting to risk their lives, but essentially did as the movement went forward.
How do you come to terms with the other ways that Beethoven's Ninth has been used? I mean, it was famously appropriated by the Third Reich. Hitler had it played on his birthday.
Sure.
It became a triumphalist German anthem.
Part of making this film was trying to reclaim what I think was Beethoven's intentions. A revisiting of his idealism of his youth when the French Revolution broke out, and there was that incredible enthusiasm and hope for a new transformed world. I think Beethoven is revisiting that in the Ninth Symphony at a time when he's very sick and understands and confronts his own mortality and comes back to that place where, yes, this is a symphony of hope, it is a symphony of connection, it is a symphony of brotherhood and sisterhood, and it is a kiss for all the world. He doesn't say just Germans. He doesn't say Aryans. He says all the world. And I think he meant it.
That's Cary Candale. His documentary is Following the Ninth in the Footsteps of Beethoven's Final Symphony. Cary, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.